Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Ty Blacklist joins us in a few moments. First of all, our play-by-play call today, Mike Lang on Geno Malkin's goal.
And Kessel got it, knocked it down, got it to Malkin. He's going right down the alley trying to get the final play on. He does! He beats Anderson! And the Penguins have another goal! Evgeny Malkin! Right down Fifth Avenue, and the Penguins lead 6-4, and make me a milkshake, Malkin. Ben, strike early.
Mike Lang last night of the Penguins Radio Network. He comes up with all the sayings along the way. He is one of the all-time greats. Speaking of which, whether it's a player at Penn State or as one of the top analysts in all of college football, one of the all-time greats, Ty Blackledge. Ty, welcome. It is great to have you on the show. Appreciate the time you're giving us today.
Yeah, it's good to be with you, Steve.
All right. The obvious first question is, four teams have made the playoff, Washington, Clemson, Ohio State, Alabama. In your opinion, did the committee get it right?
Well, I think that Penn State was maybe more deserving of the fourth spot instead of Ohio State, just because of the head-to-head, obviously, and being the conference champion, and for most of the season anyway, the argument was that the Big Ten was the strongest conference in college football this year. I think in some ways it was a little overstated, but I do think it was the strongest. And so, you know, I felt like the way they played down the stretch and with the head-to-head, that they were more deserving. Now, and I got misquoted on this a little bit already in my own hometown because I live right in the middle of Buckeye country. I'm not saying necessarily that Penn State is a better football team than Ohio State. I think Ohio State still in that league still has the best personnel top to bottom on both sides of the ball. The best depth and has recruited that way. But Penn State, there's no mistake how well they played down the stretch, and they did have the head-to-head victory. And if I would have been on the committee, that's how I would have picked it. But I knew how it was going to play out, and the way it played out is pretty much what I thought would happen. I don't think it would have been right for Ohio State and Penn State to be in, and a one-loss ACC champion Clemson or a one-loss Pac-12 champion Washington to be out either. So, it was just one of those years where, some tough decisions had to be made.
I know Jack Ham and I, when we had talked before the game, it played out about the way we thought. We thought that those would be the four that would get in, and we also thought that Penn State would then move ahead of Michigan because it looked like with Clemson jumping Ohio State and Penn State jumping Michigan, I felt like those were two, quote, face-saving moves. In other words, conference champion, play an extra game, so you get to wear white jerseys instead of red.
Right. Yeah, I think that's probably what it was. And, the fact that they were idle and didn't play and kind of went back a notch. And I tried to say this to a lot of people, too. So before the announcement was made, yes, I thought Penn State had a legitimate position and an argument for them to be in the playoffs, even though I didn't think it was going to happen. But for them to now, to come off of 9 wins in a row, to recover from a 2-2 start, to go to the Rose Bowl, and to play who is arguably the other hottest team in college football when the season ended in USC, that's not too shabby. And certainly, everybody would have liked to have had a shot at the playoffs, but I'm still a traditionalist, and there's no better game than the Rose Bowl, and that matchup is very, very exciting.
I agree with all of that. The next question will be, which is another obvious question, it's 4 right now. Should 8 be considered, or is 4 the right number?
you know, I don't know. I mean, I think the four has been pretty good. I think it's a step up from where it's been. I think they'll always be clamoring for eight or more. But I think that, you know, if we've learned anything from the basketball tournament, that you can have 64 and still have argument and still have people that right. you know, think it should have gone a different way. So whether they go to eight or not, there still is going to be, you know, there's going to be a situation where somebody's not happy and there's some argument to be made depending on how the season plays out. You know, I do think it's a little unusual that we have four slots, but we have five major conferences, so therefore five conference champions, and the fact that one of those potentially is out every year, you know, I don't know if that's the best setup that we can have.
What are your thoughts on Penn State getting back to this point, considering what they've had to go through with sanctions, scholarship reductions, then getting scholarships back?
Well, I think it's pretty remarkable. I really do. I think it started, I think, with Bill O'Brien and his couple years, and I thought, you know, that he really did an outstanding job with what he had. I think it's continued with Coach Franklin and his staff, and he's always been known as a great recruiter, and I think that he's kind of proven himself in that, and they've gotten some of their depth back, and you know, they're back up to the full complement of scholarships, and you know, and they have a couple special players now, you know. So I mean, that, you know, Saquon Barkley is as good as anybody out there at the running back position, and the way McSorley played down the stretch in the new offense, and you know, the vertical passing game, I just thought was, you know, they were fun to watch. And you know, I watched three games. I watched them against Pitt earlier in the year, and saw that furious comeback fall short. But at that point, I knew McSorley was special from that game. And then watched them on film against Ohio State because I was preparing to do Ohio State, Michigan State, and you know, was impressed with some of the things they did in that. But they just continued to get better. And then I sat and watched the entire game Saturday night because my game was at noon, and you know, I was locked in to watch that one, and just an impressive win. And you know, as I'm sure a lot of Penn State people felt. You know, the fact that they were a great second half team aside, when it was 28-7, it didn't feel very good at that point. But they that touchdown they got right before the half was critical, and then they you know, just dominated the second half. So I was very impressed.
You have to go week to week, Todd, town to town. Some of them aren't the easiest to get to. How important is this time right now to recharge your batteries? How tired do you get by the time this is all said and done? Because it's been, what, 16, 17 straight weeks?
Yeah, you know, it's nice to have a break. I really don't feel worn down or run down because I'm basically preparing for one game a week. You know, I'm not bouncing around doing a bunch of stuff during the week early. I leave, you know, for a Saturday game, I leave on Thursday. I got a pretty consistent routine that's been that routine for the last several years. And right now, you know, I get a nice break. One of the best things about the playoffs for me is you know, my crew, and it's in my contract to do one of the two semifinal games every year. And so I don't, you know, a lot of times before the playoffs, now is the time, okay, what bowl games am I doing? How many bowl games? What, you know, what do I have to do travel-wise? And it's made it very easy with the playoffs because I don't do anything up until then. And so I'm home until the 28th. I'll take off. You know, we have a basketball game the night of the 27th, and I'll fly out early the morning of the 28th and go do that game down in Atlanta between Alabama and Washington.
Of the teams that you saw in person this year, which couple impressed you of what you saw in person this year?
Well, so I saw all of them that are in the playoffs except Clemson. I did not see Clemson in person. You know, I saw them last year, obviously, and watched them on tape a little bit this year. Alabama's the most impressive. I saw them twice, saw them on tape a few more times. Defensively, they are just about as good as they've ever been. They're different defensively than they've been in some other years, national championship years that they've had at Alabama. They're faster. Their linebackers are faster. They're still very stout in their defensive front. That's the strength of their team. They're a little different offensively because they're kind of playing to the skill set of their young quarterback. They're not invincible. They do have some vulnerabilities in the back end of their defense, particularly with some of the injuries that they've had over the course of the season. But they are very, very good. And when teams make mistakes against them, they not only take the ball away from them, but in many cases they take it for scores. And that's, so 14 non-offensive touchdowns for that team this year is a pretty remarkable number. Ohio State, I think they're better defensively than they are offensively. They're a very fast defense. They're a young defense that is going to be, just continue to get better and better, I think. JT Barrett he's not a great thrower, but he's a winner and a competitor. And, whenever he's on the field, they have a chance. I think he gives them a chance as a leader. Washington, I did have them early in a big win over Stanford at the time. I like their quarterback, Jake Browning. I like their, a couple of their wideouts have got some speed on the outside. They're not built the way a Big Ten team is or the way an Alabama team is. They're not as big and physical in the trenches. So that'll be an interesting matchup for them. And then Deshaun Watson with Clemson, I think he's the best player. If you said out of those four teams, who's the best player on those four teams, Deshaun Watson is the best player. And I think they've got a good defensive front, very fast, athletic defense. And Clemson's been kind of an odd team this year. When they got it going, they're as good as anybody. But they've had times where they've been very inconsistent as well.
Yeah, agreed. You've worked for some great people, obviously. Brad Nessler, Vern Lundquist, and now Joe Tessitore. I know Vern Lundquist is now ending his SEC run, which was very emotional for him. What was it like working with him? Because I know when I met him, he just seems like the same guy off the air as he is on.
I love my 6 or 7 years with Vern, and I tell people all the time, the best way for me to describe it is, I enjoyed every bit as much having dinner with Vern on Friday nights before games as I did working with him on Saturday because he's got so many stories and he's done so many things and he has so many experiences and he's just a wonderfully nice man. So he and I are very good friends and will remain good friends. He was a real joy to work with, and I count it an honor that I got to work with him for part of his time there at the SEC and CBS.
Do you now know more about the Heisman Trophy voting by working one season with Joe Tessitore?
Oh, geez, yeah, he's that guy, man. He does a lot now. He's a relentless worker. He's a great preparation guy. Really prepares well and his whole Heismanology, which at first kind of bothered me only because, I used to tell people I don't like to talk about – I hate preseason polls. I don't like talking about ranking any teams until the first week of October, and I don't like talking about the Heisman until the first week of November. Well, with his stuff, he starts talking about a little earlier than that, but we figured out a way to make it work together, so it was okay.
Exactly. I have to ask you about Taste of the Town. It's in a book. You can also there's also multimedia of it. What inspired it to begin with, and then who came to you with the idea of the book?
Well, first of all, we're not doing it anymore. We stopped it a couple years ago, and
right.
It was we had a blast doing it. We did it for 7 years. It was my idea. We had a production meeting or a big meeting, college football meeting in the summer in Bristol, and so they had everybody that was there that had anything to do with college football. And it's kind of a rah-rah 2 days, and we usually hear from a lot of different speakers, a lot of bosses and stuff. And so one guy that spoke to us one day, he was challenging us to, anything we could come up with, any kind of new ideas, new, concepts. Don't be afraid to try things. And I can remember him saying, there's nothing wrong with a noble failure. So I came out of that meeting and I went to my producer at the time, Bo Garrett, and I said, look, Bo, I've been kind of sitting on this idea. I'd like to try it. Sounds great. So the first game, we did a Monday night Labor Day weekend game in Clemson. And, And I'd heard about this place in Clemson, a burger joint that, you know, is legendary, Max and Max Drive-In. And so we went there and filmed it, and it was kind of rough. You know, the first one was a little rough, but we aired it, and you know, didn't hear a whole lot about it, but it, you know, got pretty decent feedback. Well, then the next week, I think it was Penn State Notre Dame, and it was in State College. And so I said, well, I'm gonna go and, you know, highlight Sticky Buns. And so I went, and in 2 weeks after that, the thing took off. And everywhere I went from then, even to now, I haven't done Taste of Town for 3 years. And still, when I run into people that recognize me in the airport or on campus, they'll ask me, hey, where are you eating this week? You know, where's Taste of Town this week? So I worked for 20 years to carve a niche as a football analyst, and now I'm more known as a food guy than anything else. But it was just, you know, it just really struck a nerve with people, I think. You know, people identified, you know, those kind of places with their college days and, you know, going to football games and going to those favorite kind of, you know, local places. And it just, you know, it just kind of hit the spot with people. And then the book was, you know, a couple people just approached me about maybe doing something, and we had a lot of fun doing that as well. You know, and the restaurants were so responsive and helpful in sending recipes, because it's ultimately a cookbook. You know, it's a little bit of a travel guide book and a cookbook combined, and it worked, so it was fun.
I always enjoy every opportunity I get to talk to you very, very much. I appreciate the fact you gave us some time today, Todd, and so did the audience. Thanks so much.
My pleasure, man. And, you know, again, just congratulations to Coach Franklin and his staff and that team, because, you know, it was a real proud moment for me to watch them the other night. And again, just knowing what the program has worked its way back from and to play as well as they did and to represent, you know, all of us, to represent the program, the university as well as they did, I just thought was terrific. So. Well done.
Thanks so much, Todd. Appreciate it.
Okay. See you, Steve.
Todd Blackledge. Great that he would carve out some time for us today and worked it out, and worth every second of it. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Happy holidays from everyone at Penn's Tavern. It's time for gathering friends and family, and Penn's Tavern wants you to make them your setting for your holiday party. Historic Penn's Tavern, recently voted as the Daily Items 2016 Reader's Choice for Best Tavern, is waiting for you. Penn's Tavern has an ambiance that cannot be duplicated. The Sarah Room is the original structure of the tavern. Built circa 1700s, the Sarah Room has original stone walls and wooden floors for an unmatched old-world feel. The Wixted Room, overlooking the Susquehanna River, attaches to a more modern River Room pub. The River Room has 12 local microbreweries on tap. And just in time for the holidays, choose Penn's Tavern gift certificates for the perfect stocking stuffer. Purchase 5 gift certificates in the same amount and receive a gift certificate of the same value at no charge. Call to reserve your date and time for a memorable holiday gathering at 570-286-2007 or go to PennsTavern.com. Wishing you all the best, not only during the holidays, but the whole year through, from everyone at Penn's Tavern.
Everything for Todd Blackledge fell into place within the last 90 minutes. That's why, you know, there wasn't a tremendous amount of promotion about it. But, you know, the fact that it did fall into place the way it did allowed us to get him on. And despite the fact we didn't do a lot of promotion about it, I'm sure the audience appreciated it tremendously. So, you know, I appreciated hearing from him again. He's... You know, obviously, I've known Todd for, what, I don't know, 36 years, whatever. So it was great to have him take some time. He's got a basketball game tonight, all right? So the fact that he's got a basketball game tonight, because he coaches. I mean, he coaches.
First game of the season tonight.
Yeah. So he's got to go out there and he's got to coach.
Yeah, son's a junior. Going to be on the court.
Yeah. Well, good for him.
I said, Todd, let you go. Go coach him up.
Yeah, that's great. In fact, but he gave us time today, and that's great. Now, we're going to run down the bowls 40-1. I'm going to point out that our crack staff has zero to do with the ratings because CBS Sportsnet did it, and we all looked at each other and said, that's good enough. Now, what we'll do is we'll say whether we're going to watch the game or bag the game. Now, my category is, will I watch the game or will I give it a glimpse? Glimpse is the lowest level I can give it. All right?
Kind of like what I did for the Jets-Colts game last night. I think I watched the three plays of that.
Look, I was working on USC. I already had the George Mason game done, so I was working on USC last night.
Better time spent.
Man, the Jets are lousy. They are bad. Wow.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. Check out the Steve Jones Show podcast for those who, just in case you did not hear the Todd Blackledge interview today. I think people have been waiting for us to get him on. Well, we had success, and we thank him for that. He's actually coaching his son's high school basketball game tonight. And he made sure he had time for us today. We appreciate it very much. I think you may have heard during the news, Rashan Salaam, the Heisman Trophy winner from 1994, passed away today at the age of 42. They found his body in a park. My goodness. I mean, no indication yet about anything, so I can't really begin to tell you any details other than that, but that's just awful. Okay. Let's get to some fun here. All right, and the fun would be the countdown of 40-1 on college football bowl games. CBS Sports put this together. Our crack staff did not. We looked around and said, well, it's pretty easy. Let's just do it this way. You also had contact with my brother about this. And he wanted to know if we were picking
all 40.
All 40 games. And the answer is yes. By the way, the Red Sox got Chris Sale today for four prospects, including Yoan Moncada. But now the Red Sox have Rick Porcello, David Price, and Chris Sale. That's their rotation.
So you're the Sox fan. Just to spur the moment when you caught it, what'd you think?
All right. I think this is great. Who made this deal? He's one of the best pitchers in the whole deal. All right. So here we go. 40-1, and CBS Sportsnet rates the Heart of Dallas Bowl, the old Ticket City Bowl, is number 40, dead last. Army, surprised to be in it, against the only under 500 team, 5-7, North Texas. That'll be December 27th, which is a Tuesday at noon. Are you watching, Sean?
Couple glimpses, maybe.
It'll get a glimpse. Once I'm done with shooting around, I got a basketball game that day at 3 o'clock.
That's your out.
Yeah. Well, no, I'll get a glimpse. I'm done with shooting around, I'll get a glimpse of it, and then I'll go over to the game, hoops game here about 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
All right, Christmas Eve, opposite the Texans and the Bengals, the Hawaii Bowl, Middle Tennessee against Hawaii at 8 p.m.
I'll be locked into the Christmas Story Marathon then. That's our tradition in the family, watching the movie with Ralphie and the shotgun and...
You know what's really
Scott
bad?
Furcus.
You know what's really bad about that? Everybody talks about that, which I completely understand.
You've never seen it.
I've barely seen it, and the parts I did see, I didn't like.
That's kind of one that I know a lot of people that would take 8 days a week. It's a Wonderful Life over A Christmas Story. That's nice.
Well, I'm a big It's a Wonderful Life guy. Now, okay, I have to admit, I mean, I am a huge It's a Wonderful Life guy.
And this is bad on my part. I probably see little bits and pieces of it here and there. I've never actually sat down to watch the whole movie, and I really need to do that.
Oh, no.
That was actually on Saturday night against the Penn State-Wisconsin game. NBC had it on Saturday night.
I was busy.
Yes, you were. A lot were.
I really had a lot to do that night. All right. So that one, for me, gets slightly more than a glimpse on Christmas Eve. But It's a Wonderful Life is going to win out over Bengals Texans. No offense, Bill O'Brien. And also over the Hawaii Bowl. Middle Tennessee against Hawaii. You know, I mean, one of these years, they should send Hawaii to, like, Boise. Just to give them a different look at life. No? Bad idea? All right. So that's number 39. All right, let's get through these other ones here. Get to the really good ones. By the way, just so you know, Penn State, USC's 3, okay? All right, just so you know. So I'm not going to play games and tell everybody, oh,
after the break.
Here's the mystery. Where are they? No, that's not how I do things here. All right. So now we get to the next one, which is number 38, Birmingham Bowl, South Florida, South Carolina. Now, a Will Muschamp coach team is the third straight year they've been in the game, but this is actually the first year he's going to coach the game. He's always left for other jobs. Last year at Rutgers. Was it at Rutgers? I'm trying to think where the heck we were. Maybe it was 2 years ago. We were at Rutgers watching this game. We were like, okay. You know, it was Dick Girardi, Dave Baker, Jeff Tarman, me sitting in the bar eating lunch. That's the only way we watched it. It's on December 29th. It gets no more than a glimpse.
Probably not even that for me.
Boy, I'll tell you, you and the suit just match up.
Right. That's rare.
All right, next, Miami Beach Bowl, Tulsa, Central Michigan. This will be on Monday the 19th at 2:30 in the afternoon.
I'm busy.
It'll get a glimpse. Arizona.
Yeah, maybe Arizona, before we go on that day, sure. Yeah, maybe.
Arizona Bowl, all right? Now, last year, Penn State played Drexel. And the Arizona Bowl was on. I went back to the hotel because we had to go to Las Vegas the next day. So we stayed overnight in Philadelphia. I actually watched some of this game on my iPad in the room. This is not bad. Air Force against South Alabama. Air Force is pretty good, fun to watch. You know, South Alabama beat both Mississippi State and San Diego State this year. It gets a glimpse on December 30th.
Glimpse from me.
Now, remember, for me, that game will be 2:30 in the afternoon, not 5:30, because I'll be in California. I liked it better when it was the Beef O'Brady's Bowl. Now it's the St. Petersburg Bowl. Miami of Ohio against Mississippi State. This game is at 11 a.m. on the 26th. Now, this actually will get a glimpse from me because everybody's off on the 26th. I mean, nobody's working the 26th except for a relatively few people.
More than a glimpse for me.
All right. I mean, the game, Miami of Ohio, they'll probably lose this game, but they started the year 0-6. They ended up going 6-6 and made a bowl game. The New Orleans Bowl on opening day, the 17th, 9 at night, Southern Miss against Louisiana Lafayette. I'm traveling to New York City to do hoops the next day at Madison Square Garden. Maybe in the bar at the Marriott Marquis, a glimpse. That's about it. Military Bowl. Temple, now that Matt Rule's the head coach at Baylor, against Wake Forest. This is December 27th at 3:30, opposite the Penn State basketball game. So that tells you my status that maybe I'll hear it on the radio on the way home.
So Matt will not be coaching that game.
I would doubt it. I would think he's got to go full bore into recruiting for Baylor now. New Mexico Bowl, opening day, 2 o'clock. Texas San Antonio, relatively new to the FBS scene, makes it to a bowl game. They get New Mexico, Bob Davies' team. Probably a lot of points in this game. I will be traveling to New York, so the best I'll do will be either on the device or the radio. But it's opening day, though.
Glimpse from me.
Glimpse. Bahamas Bowl, Old Dominion, Eastern Michigan. I still have to text tonight to Matt Shepard, who's Eastern Michigan's play-by-play guy. Good friend, great guy, awesome guy. You're going to the Bahamas, man. Now, the game is December 23rd, that Friday at 1 o'clock. No more than a glimpse for me.
We'll have our office Christmas luncheon going on at that time, so I'm probably not.
Oh, the one I was invited to?
You're invited to all of them.
Well, this is the first I heard of it. I mean, do you realize the subtle messages you guys send to me about, like, the, like, we really appreciate you. Oh, by the way, we forgot to tell you. Oh, I'm feeling very appreciated these days. Let me guess, when's the office party?
This Thursday night. As predicted by you, it is on another Thursday night.
It is opposite the show. And by the way, on the show this week, it's Patrick Chambers and Sandy Barber this week.
Yes, it's going on at the same time, yes.
Yes. So while you guys are partying, I'm out there, you know, just taking the sleigh and dragging it up the hill. I got it. Okay.
I'll be fashionably late because I'll still be here. You know, we'll be wrapping things up and I'll be taking care of the podcast, so I won't be getting there as early as I normally would in the past.
Yeah. Anybody ever hear Friday night? I'm free Friday.
Yeah, it's always been on a Thursday.
Yeah, I know. I've noticed. I also noticed the office party is the same day I can't be there either. Cure Bowl. I need to be cured. Cure Bowl. Arkansas State UCF, 5:30, December 17th. Glimpse. Poinsettia Bowl, December 21st, 9 p.m. Now, I have a basketball game that day, but it'll be over before this game. I am absolutely watching this game. BYU and Wyoming. I think that's going to be a really good game.
I'll be watching that too. Yep.
Yep. I think it's going to be a good game. I actually saw Wyoming in person this year against Eastern Michigan. Quick Lane Bowl, Boston College, Maryland, on Monday the 26th at 2:30. Yeah, more than a glimpse from me. I'll watch some of that.
Me too.
Cactus Bowl, Baylor, Boise State, December 27th, 10:15 at night. I will definitely watch this game, and I definitely will fall asleep in the middle of the second quarter. Because I won't be able to go any further. Potato Bowl, Colorado State, Idaho. I actually like this matchup. It's going to be on the 22nd at 7 p.m. The 22nd is what? What day of the week is that? Thursday?
That's a Thursday, yes. Thursday.
Yeah, I'll watch that. After I'm done with the talk show that night, yeah, I'll watch some of that. Independence Bowl. I always liked it was a pool and weed eater Independence Bowl. NC State Vanderbilt, December 26, 5 p.m. Glimpse. Tax Slayer Bowl, Georgia Tech, Kentucky, 11 a.m. Christmas Eve. Glimpse.
Me too.
Okay. Ohio against Troy in the Dollar General Bowl, December 23rd, Friday night, 8 p.m. That matchup is properly named in this bowl. Dollar General.
Ohio hung tough with Western Michigan, so I'll probably watch that at least quarter of that.
Frank Solich, 72 years of age, still getting it done. That game, more than a glimpse. I'll watch. It'll be Friday night. I'll just want to kick back and relax. It'll be good. Because, I mean, I've got all my stuff done. People are saying, how can you be done with your schedule? I figured it out. 22, Belk Bowl, Virginia Tech, Arkansas, December 29th, 5:30 in the afternoon. Not bad. I like the matchup. At that point, I don't know if I'm traveling out to California that day or not. I think maybe. We'll see. Foster Farms Bowl, December 28th, 8:30 at night, Indiana, Utah. Yeah, I'll watch that.
Me too.
Armed Forces Bowl, Louisiana Tech Navy. That's it, December 23rd at 4:30 in the afternoon. I'll watch some of it. Maybe not all of it, but I'll watch some of it. Okay. Next up is the Liberty Bowl, TCU, Georgia, December 30th at noon, which I will be in California at that point, I believe, so it'll be 9 a.m. It is a different schedule out there, my man. It's a different schedule.
You may have a tea time at that time, though.
Exactly right. The Boca Raton Bowl, Memphis and Western Kentucky, December 20th, which is that a Tuesday at 7 p.m.?
That's correct. 2 weeks from tonight.
Yeah, glimpse. Hey, Jeff Brom won't even be there. Glimpse. Gone. Let's see. Pinstripe Bowl, Northwestern, Pitt, December 28th, 2 in the afternoon.
Absolutely.
I'll definitely watch that, and Saturday I'm going to deliver the bad news to Bill Hillgrove personally. Exactly what is that bad news? Bill, they're going to put you in the end zone in the Yankee broadcast booth. I have no other advice for you.
Now, will you and Jack be in the end zone at the Rose Bowl like you were in 09?
No, we've been moved. We're at the 40-yard line.
Excellent.
No, we're in good shape. Matt LaPay and Gary Dolphin. You know, Gary did the Rose Bowl last year. Matt did it 2 years ago. They both told me that we were moved off the goal line. The goal, actually, where we were last time was actually, I had no issues with it at all. 40-yard line, I have even fewer issues. No, it's if I foul up, it's really on me. Music City Bowl, Nebraska and Tennessee, December 30th. I'll watch some of that. Texas Bowl, Kansas State, Texas A&M. For the 18th consecutive year, people think it's the final game for Bill Snyder as the coach of Kansas State. I'll watch a little bit of that. The Camellia Bowl is December 17th, opening day, 5:30, Toledo against Appalachian State. Glimpse. Holiday Bowl, Washington State, Minnesota, December 27th, 7 p.m. Yes, I am in. That'll be after my game that day with Northwestern in basketball. I'll kick back, watch that game. Sun Bowl. This game's on CBS, December 30th, 2 p.m., North Carolina Stanford. Now, that actually is, that's a really good matchup. I like that. Outback Bowl, Florida and Iowa, January 2nd, 1 p.m. Maybe in the booth I'll watch some of that. Because Penn State plays at 5, we're on at 3:30 that day. Russell Athletic Bowl, Miami against West Virginia is the number 10 matchup. December 28th, 5:30. Yeah, more than a glimpse on that one. December 17th, opening day, 3:30. Now, I'll be in New York for this, obviously. I'm in a stretch right now where 7 of 9 weekends I'm away. So, yes, I'm traveling that day. But Houston, San Diego State, if I can catch some of it on the TV in the bar, I will. You know, we'll be eating dinner someplace. It'll be on the. You know, we can check the TVs out in the bar as we eat. Citrus Bowl, LSU, Louisville. I like it. 11 a.m. December 31st. I'll watch some of that.
Me too.
Yep, I like it. Now that's an 8 a.m. start in Los Angeles. Okay, the other ones I think are all obvious that we'll watch. Alamo Bowl is Oklahoma State, Colorado. I like the matchup. That's on December 29th at 9. That's good. Auburn, Oklahoma in the Sugar Bowl on the 2nd. When I get back to the hotel that night, I should be able to watch some of that, although I'm going to have to get to sleep at some point because I've got a 9 a.m. flight out of Los Angeles to Detroit because I got basketball on the 4th. Western Michigan, Wisconsin in the Cotton Bowl. They have rated 5th. You know what? Wisconsin's in an absolute no-win position here. They win the game, they're supposed to win it. If they lose the game, everybody's like, well, what the heck happened to you? Orange Bowl, Florida State, Michigan on the 30th. Great matchup. I'll definitely watch that. Penn State, USC on the 2nd at 5. I think I'm definitely going to watch that one, too.
Yeah, me here and there.
I think I'm going to watch the whole thing. Fiesta Bowl, Clemson, Ohio State, obviously, and Alabama, Washington, obviously. Alabama, Washington, by the way, is first. Clemson and Ohio State's the nightcap. So there you go.
Yeah, and we got some breaking news from Todd Blackledge that he will be calling the Alabama game.
Yes, that's the one he's got. Yeah. Okay, we will come back, wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. Great to have you with us as we close things out today. So let me ask you an honest question, Sean.
Sure.
When you look at the pattern of the holiday party and the holiday luncheon, of which neither one I was invited to.
Oh, come on.
Was I invited to either one?
I would have thought you got something in the mail.
No, nothing. Is it the way I treat the staff, all the and all the yelling and screaming? I mean,
demands here and there.
Let me ask you, during the past year, how many demands have I made?
Let me think. To me, personally, none.
yelling and screaming?
To me, zip zilch.
So in other words, I'm a team player.
You are. Okay. Last I checked.
And over here, I'm eating a hot dog with some fries while you guys are partying. Did I not preview the Big Ten championship game well enough?
You sure did.
Oh, no, maybe I didn't.
Unlike any other, in my opinion. Then again, I'm kind of biased, but
I'm trying to think what I did wrong this year. I thought I played well in the charity golf tournament on behalf of the station. I mean, I have nothing. I mean, I don't mean to make people feel bad, but I got nothing.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.